And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, as we continue our time together, on the phone with me is Dr. David Rodinghouse, Chief Medical Officer with the Butler Health System. And we're going to talk about the no visitation policy as we, last night, as a matter of fact, put out this news story. And today have been reporting that that shift has happened in the visitation policy. First of all, Dr. Rodinghouse, welcome to the program.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me on the show to discuss this.
Yeah, because when we hear no visitation, I'm wondering, my first question is, are we now back where we were when this broke in March?
Well, yes and no. So we're back in terms of a very heightened awareness of the rapid spread of this virus. It's in our community. It appears to be in every community across the country. This time, the difference is, are number one, we know it's in rural communities. And, previously that seemed to be a strength was our geography, our distancing, the fact that we weren't in a tightly condensed, city, seemed to favor, reduced spread in our particular area. But now there is widespread community transmission. And, if you look at the national data, it doesn't appear that any community is spared this very rapid spread. On the good end of things, we have a much better understanding of COVID-19 and of the particular manifestations and medical impact upon people. So we have a better understanding of how this disease infects people, what it can do to people if it infects them. And then, of course, we have some treatment modalities available to us and just better management skills around this virus than we did back in March when, we knew very, very little. But to keep in perspective, this virus on this planet is still under a year old. Scientific information and data moves very, very quickly. So we have a tremendous amount more understanding, but things are moving quickly in terms of a vaccine and other therapeutics, but we still don't have, any magic bullets to treat this illness or treat this disease within our, armamentarium at this point in time.
Information seems to be in fast forward. As you just mentioned, we live in a social media world where things just go very rapidly. But when it comes to science, you really can't rush that, can you? When we talk about vaccines, you can't really rush that process.
So you can rush some of the R&D and the production, but what you can't rush is proving that it's effective and that it's safe in human beings, to whom you want to administer, this vaccine. You want to make sure you have, a safe and effective vaccine that prevents you, or at least has a reasonably good chance of preventing you from getting an illness. It was designed to stop. But then also the safety data is important. And, the vaccines that we have that we widely use, flu, measles, mumps, rubella, all those, polio, we have, if not years, then decades worth of safety data on those. So although the speed has happened very, very quickly, those are the things that we want to see more robust information and more security when we go to administer these to patients, that we feel good about, the safety profile of those vaccines. Now, the speed of information within the medical world, of course, there's other modalities in social media, but the way that information has been shared across, medical providers has been one of the real, bright lights in this. So places that were getting, lots and lots of patients early on were sharing their real-time clinical experience, what to expect, what they were finding. So, I can't imagine taking on a pandemic in a non-digital world. I'm glad I wasn't doing this 100 years ago with the Spanish flu, but that dissemination of information, not just in our country, but around the globe from medical professionals to medical professionals, I think it shows or will show that the coordination in that space was outstanding during this time.
And I want to get to the no visitation policy at the hospital, but let me ask you this about the vaccine, since we kind of touched on that. Do we trust in the information that Pfizer announced this week? Do we have have faith in that?
So I think it needs to be vetted by the proper authorities and, you know, the CDC and, you know, get the scientific experts in because, you know, though I don't doubt that they're having very positive results, anytime you have, you know, something like that that you're going to roll out and, you know, subject people to inoculation by a vaccine, you know, not just by the dozens, but by the hundreds of millions, we want to make sure it's vetted very appropriately. Pfizer, of course, and all these pharmaceuticals want to have an impact. They want to prevent disease. They want to save lives. But we also have to, you know, reel in to some extent, you know, our eagerness to put things out before they're fully ready. So I'm very encouraged by the results. I'm feeling very positive about it. But at the same time, you know, we do have to allow that scientific process and that evaluation to take place.
And we'll touch on vaccines, I'm sure, in the next month or two as we hear this information roll out. And we'll reach out to the Butler Health System again for a deeper conversation in that. Let me shift our attention to the Butler Health System with the Butler Memorial Hospital. With the information that we received yesterday that the hospital is going back to a no visitation policy. And I'm wondering if you could explain to us what that means, because when you look on the website of the Butler Hospital, it says a no visitation policy with the exception of, and then it lists, you know, many different areas, whether we're talking about outpatient or planned procedures or the ER or maternity. And so what does it mean to have a no visitation policy?
Yeah, so the big picture here is, again, back to the idea of community spread. So in order for us to continue to provide all the necessary services that we want to provide to our community, you know, and that's everywhere from preventative care to absolute urgent, emergent, and critical care, we have to have an intact workforce. And, you know, all of us that come in and out of these buildings in every hospital or, you know, healthcare facility across the country, we all have homes, we all have communities in which we live. And as we've watched, you know, the rate of community spread, not just in Butler, but in all the surrounding areas, rise to a point where, you know, we're seeing sometimes positivity rates, you know, well above 10%, even 20%, you know, One of our best resources and greatest resources, of course, is our staff. So the idea behind visitation is really preventing spread within our own building. Since this disease has an asymptomatic rate, you know, where people don't have cough, cold, fever, you know, congestion, body aches, up to 40% of the time, we don't always know who could be bringing in or transmitting the virus, you know, among our own folks within this building. So the idea behind this is to keep not just our patients and our community safe, but also our people that provide care, you know, to COVID patients and every other patient in all of our locations every single day. So, you know, we don't like to do this. These are very difficult decisions. Not being with the loved one when they're in the hospital receiving care is very, very difficult. But we feel that in order to continue to, you know, provide care for the long haul, we really need to make difficult decisions, and we want to continue to provide the same spectrum of care and not have some of the pullbacks as we saw early on, you know, in March and April, where we're restricted by not doing, you know, certain procedures and certain, you know, perhaps screening tests. That's not where we want to end up. So it is, again, a very difficult decision. It's not one we make lightly, but it's done with the interest of, you know, the community and our patients and our, you know, staff members in mind.
Again, the information is on the website for the Butler Health System. So, folks, if you're listening now, you're more than welcome to access that information online. And I know every individual's situation in healthcare is important, but I want to ask in two different areas, Dr. Rodinghouse. One with the ER. What's it mean to have a no visitation policy, but have an exception that if somebody is not able to walk into the ER themselves, maybe somebody can be with them. Maybe a minor is a part of the ER scenario. So, of course, a parent could go in. I don't want to read the whole entire thing that I see online, but there's an element here that says, you know, you can take somebody to the ER and then sit out in your car. So can you explain what does it mean to have an ER with a no visitation policy? How does that run?
Yeah, so, you know, to your point, if it's a minor, if it's somebody that needs, you know, more of a voice or, you know, somebody to provide more information, then we will make exceptions in those circumstances. The idea is that we reduce the number of people, you know, coming in this building and that are, you know, present in our care areas. So I realize how difficult it is. I realize the anxiety of having, you know, a loved one, a significant other who is seeking, you know, emergency care and, you know, waiting out in your car or not being able to see what's happening. That's very stressful. You know, it's certainly stressful on the patient, stressful on the family. So, you know, the way we work with that is to establish, you know, modes of communication, whether it's people, you know, walking out toward the car, having a more remote conversation, you know, having a cell phone to call, you know, bringing people back in those certain situations where we are permitting visitors. But we intend to, you know, communicate effectively, communicate often, and make sure that people are up to speed on what's happening with their loved ones. You know, and again, to reiterate, these are tough decisions. It's not the way that we want to, you know, function and operate. But, you know, even in those emergency situations, we want to be able to take care of people, you know, safely and, you know, keep people in and out of this building healthy and reduce transmission among everyone.
The other area I want to ask you about on the website for the Butler Health System, it does state, for everyone's safety, COVID-19 positive patients are not permitted visitation. End-of-life care visitors may be permitted with a provider order. And I go back to remembering the stories that were covered when this first broke, when there were folks that were dying of COVID-19. They did not have their loved ones by their side. Is this a different place where we are right now? Is a loved one allowed to be there?
Yes, so we will allow visitation, you know, if somebody is actively dying and expected to die, you know, from COVID-19. That's a bit of a pivot, you know, from previously. You know, there will be restrictions on, you know, of course, numbers of people. This is, again, another very, very difficult area. We do have compassionate rounders. We have people who are, you know, allowing video calls and, you know, establishing contact with these patients in a very safe manner. But, again, another really difficult situation. You know, we feel, as most other facilities feel, we have to be able to control, you know, to some extent the flow of folks in and out of the building, especially in a patient that's likely contagious. We don't want to continue to infect other people. But at the same time, we're very sensitive to, you know, the difficult situation of, you know, losing a loved one or, you know, that end-of-life care and people wanting to be there at the bedside. So, you know, extenuating circumstances, we will do everything we can to accommodate, you know, patients, their loved ones, and their families, but do it in a safe and responsible manner, you know, to the fullest extent we can.
Dr. Rottinghaus, can you remind us again why COVID-19 is different from the flu?
Absolutely. So the flu, you know, has different strains that circulate every year. We typically see a rise, you know, early winter, and then the flu season generally ends, you know, April, May. The biggest difference with flu is a couple things. We have a vaccine for flu. Influenza does have some immunity from previous exposure to other influenza strains and viruses. COVID-19 is called a novel virus because it's novel. It's brand new. Nobody has ever seen this before. So everyone is susceptible. It's easily transmitted. And, you know, everybody can potentially get the virus. It's spread in a way that flu typically isn't, and that's through asymptomatic people. So people who don't have any symptoms of this virus can easily give it to, you know, anyone else. So that is a distinct difference. It also causes, especially in people with medical problems or advanced other illnesses, very significant and very difficult to treat medical complications, particularly on the lungs, sometimes in the heart. It can cause what's called thromboembolic complications, namely strokes, clots in the lungs. So the virus itself, although we've learned a lot about it, the spectrum of illness that it causes, and you know, certainly the mortality rate that we've seen and are seeing so far is higher than that of the flu. So, you know, it's certainly not just the flu. There are people that are more susceptible to this virus than others. You know, fortunately, it doesn't tend to affect children as much as it does older adults and adults with you know, underlying medical problems. But at the same time, you know, It does cause severe disease in a large subset of people. You know, we have a lot of people in this country with chronic illnesses, with chronic disease, that are very susceptible to this virus. And we're seeing that every day in terms of the spread and in terms of the, you know, death rates that are reported in our country. The good news is we can prevent it as well. We can prevent spread by doing simple things well, and that's wearing masks, which we know definitively work if you wear them and other people wear them, social distancing, and good, you know, hand hygiene, washing your hands, covering your cough, not touching objects and touching your eyes, your nose, or your mouth. So, you know, it's easily spread, but it's also fairly easily preventable in terms of, you know, doing those basic things to prevent us from getting it and giving it to others.
And last question, Dr. Rottinghaus, what do you need from the community? Is it all of those things that you just listed, like washing your hands and wearing your masks? What do you need from the community at this point?
The community has been overwhelmingly supportive, and you know, the support from the community, you know, I can tell you, from healthcare workers far and wide, has been just greatly appreciated. I think at this point in time, just an understanding of how rapidly this virus is spreading across our country, it is within our community. So every zip code you see, you know, on the map in Butler County and surrounding areas, it is here. It is widely spreading. The rates at which it's spreading are, you know, difficult to contain, but we can still do it. Actions taken now will, you know, help us get through the winter and will prevent further spread of the virus, you know, and further death and further suffering. So we can, you know, continue to do these simple things together. There's no debate that masks prevent transmission, you know, both if you have the virus and you don't know it, and if you're, you know, walking around, you don't have the virus, you have your mask on, it will protect you. So again, doing those simple things and, you know, having widespread compliance in the community, we will see the benefits of that, you know, over the next several months here. A vaccine is, you know, certainly a ways away. That shouldn't be looked at as something that's going to rescue us in the next couple months. The best things that we can do to, you know, mitigate spread of this virus and keep people healthy is reducing the transmission. And again, it goes back to the simple things that you talked about. So, you know, I think that's what every person in healthcare, you know, everybody who owns a business, everybody who wants, you know, some semblance of normalcy in life and people to keep working, that's what we need to do as a community. It's not just healthcare; it's everybody, you know, to keep the spread in the community down, and you know, to keep moving forward through this safely.
Again, the Butler Health System moving to a no visitation policy, folks. If you would like to see that, then get online to the Butler Health System's website. Also on butlerradio.com under our news story, we have the link that you can access that information right there. Dr. David Rottinghaus, Chief Medical Officer with the Butler Health System. Dr. Rottinghaus, thank you once again.
Thanks for your time, and everybody stay healthy out there.